I really enjoy seeing God's message develop week after week after week. Almost every single time, it's in a way that I would have never thought of. But I get to enjoy it as it plays out. I get to be a part of it. When I was in ministry training school and interning with Pastor Paul at Gospel Lighthouse Church in Hudson Falls, I used to say to him all the time, I'm just a piece. I'm just a piece of the puzzle that God is putting together in our lifetime. And I'm happy being that piece. So for our service today, our message involves hope, love, peace, and joy. Hope is our next generation who's growing, who's getting bigger, who's developing in God's Word, God's love, God's mercy and grace. If we as a body of believers focus on what we need on Sunday morning, and we forget about the next generation, what else are we forgetting about? We're forgetting about the hope that we have in God's Word and work continuing. If we leave behind the next generation, everything dies with us. So let's not lose hope in what's to come. Peace. In our body, we can have peace. Because we have elders in our body who have seen God work through the years and know that He is faithful. So we can have peace. Love. And in our body of believers, that's what we're called to do. We're called to love like Jesus loved. We're called to set everything aside in our lives and give ourselves to the work of the Lord so that somebody else around us who is in need can experience the Lord, can experience His love and His mercy and His grace. And God wants to do it through us. So in our body of believers, one of the biggest things, the two top commands of God involve love. And Jesus said everything else in the Bible is fulfilled through this. Love God and love people. And joy. When we have Christ in our heart, when we know what it is we're doing, when we know why God is speaking to our hearts, it's not just to grow us. It's for the people around us. When we understand what He's doing in this world, in this community, the joy that comes from it is in knowing that you get to be a piece of what He's doing. So in that, I just want to say that we have the opportunity to unite and be a body of believers. We have an opportunity to reach out to people around this community, in our families, our friends, and our workplaces. It's hard to speak about God in the workplace, but it's not impossible. We have the opportunity to reach out to people and to share with them who Jesus is in our lives and who He wants to be in their lives. Everything began with love. Everything. John 3:16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." You know, we quote John 3:16 all the time. It's a very well-known verse. But a lot of times we don't add in 17 with it. It says that Jesus wasn't sent to condemn the world. He was sent to save the world. He was sent to save us. And so by accepting Jesus, all those who know Him and believe in Him by accepting Jesus. We have this salvation. But we got to remember that Jesus didn't come for the judgment yet. The judgment is down the road. As we're speaking to people, as we're telling people about who our God is and what He's done for us, what He does in our lives and wants to do in their lives, we got to remember that condemnation is not here. Salvation is here. Because of the love of God for us broken and twisted children that He chose to love and adopt, we now can find hope in all the promises He made for those He loves. All the sacred promises that are etched forever in His written word. God knew what He was doing when He called you to Himself. When He opened your eyes to the wonder of His existence and the truth of His presence in your life and heart, He knew the promises that He wrote down for the generations. And He says, these are now for you too. You know, sometimes I talk about us being children of God. And here I just mentioned about being adopted into His family. You see, we had been separated from God because of our sin. When He opened our eyes to who we were, who I was, and my need for help, because I could never pay back what I've done. When He opened my eyes to what I needed, and that day I gave my heart to Jesus, I became an adopted son of God. He brought me into His family through Jesus Christ. And He's done the same for you too. Lamentations 3:19 through 26 says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. O Lord, the memories of all I've done, they haunt my mind, they squeeze my heart, and I'm brought low before You. Remembering all my afflictions and my wanderings." It continues, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." We talk about promises in Scripture. This is a promise. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Thank You, Lord, that a new day has brought me back to Your arms. They are new every morning. "Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Great is Your faithfulness, Lord. Great is Your faithfulness to the promises that You have made. And therefore I have hope in You because You have promised good to those who set their hearts on following You. I have hope because Your promises give it to my soul. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You guys hear that one a lot. That is the verse that God has put in my heart for this time in our lives. Have you ever looked to see if there's more to that promise? The very next verse adds God's purpose for giving this promise to you. It says, when we read it all together, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. How many times have you heard that everything is because God wants your heart? He wants you to love Him. He wants you to be with Him. And verse 12 tells us that God gives us this promise so that we will go to Him in prayer. He wants a relationship with you. His plans are for you. They're to prosper you. They're to give you hope and a future. And His desire is that you will come to Him in prayer, because this is His plan for you. Hope in all He has promised gives us joy. And joy is an emotion that is invoked by good fortune. It's caused by recognizing good fortune in your life. In the sight of every obstacle, every storm, every valley that stands in our path, we can have joy, because we have confidence in He who made the promise. Because we have confidence in Him, He cannot lie. It will happen just as He promised. And we need only trust in He who made the promise. Our joy in the Lord grows from reading His written word. Spending time in God's word will give you joy. And recognizing all the promises that have become yours because you said, "Yes, God, I want to be your adopted child. Please accept me into your family." And suddenly you're His. And all His promises that are forever wrote in Scripture are now for you. Joy is an emotion invoked by the good fortune of unbreakable promises, of eternal blessing, mercy, salvation. That's mine. What greater joy could I have in the course of this journey? No matter what you face, if your heart is set on Jesus, let joy fill you, because all the promises are for you, not against you. They are to give you hope in your promised eternity and all that awaits in this paradise that we're told about. It's all waiting for you in your future. Matthew 13, 43 through 45 says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field." It was put there to be retrieved. See, sometimes we need to stop, because I have the whole verse right there and I could continue reading it. But Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's been hidden in a field. He didn't say it was started in the field. He said it was hidden in the field, which says that it was put there waiting to be found, waiting to be retrieved by someone. The kingdom of heaven was always there. It was put there to be found, to be received. When a man found it, he hid it again. What? When he found heaven, he kept it a secret. That's not what Scripture tells us to do, right? So let's continue. "And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field." It was never to be hidden forever. It was to be stored, waiting to be everything that his heart desired. When I first came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I wasn't in a church, but I had been in churches. I had grown up going in and out of church. I had people in my family that were praying for me. And when things went wrong in my life, I turned to them because they had something that I didn't understand. But on that day that God opened my eyes to who I really was and what I had really done in my life, and I realized how much I had done to separate myself from God, I knew in that moment that I needed a Savior. And I knew, because I was feeling all of this, that He had to be real. Because before that moment, I was not in any space to condemn myself for the choices I'd made in life. I was perfectly content with who I was and where my life was until it was all revealed to me and how it was separating me from God. As the tears rolled down my face, I realized that they weren't tears of sadness and hurt. They were tears of joy because my Savior had paid those debts and was calling me back to Him. This man that Jesus is telling this story about sold everything he had, set everything aside for this one thing. And what is God implying? What is Jesus implying in this parable? That when we know who Jesus is in our life, what He did for us, and the opportunity that He gave us, we should set everything else aside and set our heart completely on that treasure. That we get to go to heaven and be with God for all of eternity. As we learn and grow in God and in His Word, we learn that there is opportunity for people to know Jesus and to walk away. When we learn that we need to set our hearts on Him. We need to make that choice to follow Him, or we'll be like the rich young ruler who met Him and turned and walked away because it was too difficult to give up the desires of his heart and follow Jesus. Because God loves you, because He loves me, because He loves people, He sent Jesus to pay our debt, to die in our place for the sins that I committed, the sins that you committed, even the sins that the person you despise committed. Because of His great love, we have hope in the promises that He made for those He loves. Because His love gives us hope, we then should radiate joy. Joy for the good fortune that has been gifted to us by such a trustworthy person. And with this love, hope, and joy, we find peace. Peace in knowing that all we face today, all we faced in all the yesterdays, and all we will surely face in the tomorrows has not escaped His attention. God has seen it, and He has made promises concerning it. He has said that the wrongs done to His children will be avenged. So let your heart be at peace. We don't need to seek vengeance for whoever has offended us or hurt the people we love. God's Word says that He will take care of it. It's a promise that's made in His written Word, and we can count on it. We don't need to hold on to that. He has said that your confidence can rest in Him, for He will raise you up. So let your arms find peace in all their reaching. As I wrote this, I was thinking about, how many of you guys think in pictures? Think in pictures. Like when you think about something, you see it laid out in pictures. Okay, I'm one of those people. And so when I was writing this, I was thinking about reaching up for help. Like a child reaches up to an adult a parent or an older sibling, constantly reaching up. Because whatever the situation that they're facing is too much for them, so they're looking for help. And we as children of God find ourselves in that place. And God loves that we're in that place from time to time and turn to Him and reach for help. But He also tells us to have confidence in who He is so that we don't have to continually reach for help. We just know that He's going to be there for us. And we can continue forward. Like I pointed out with merit and peace, He's seen God's hand come through this church. He's seen the struggles come through this church, and God has still been there to lead through. There's peace. There's confidence that God is trustworthy. He has said that your tears are noticed and will be wiped away by His loving hand. So let your tears turn to peace. He has said that His plan for you is to have a future in heaven with Him. So let your dreams reveal the truth and receive eternal peace. I didn't think about this until just now, but the last Bible study that we did, there was a point in it where I said, okay, this is what I want all of us to do for the next so many minutes. I want you to dream about the home that Jesus is making for you. Scripture says that Jesus said, "My Father's house has many rooms, and I go before you to prepare a place for you." If Jesus knows everything about you, from the very beginning of your life to the very end of your life, He knows everything that makes you happy, sad, and makes you float. Dream a little. Imagine what this place that Jesus is preparing for you must look like. Let your dreams reveal the truth and receive eternal peace. He made that promise, and it will happen. He has said that all who will follow Him will make it. Not a one will be lost. Set your heart on Him. You will make it. No matter what you face, no matter what the evil in this world does to you or the people you love, set your heart on Him. You will make it. Can you find peace in such promises? Can you find peace in the One who made such strong promises? Luke 7:40 through 50 says, Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." What did Jesus say? "You have judged correctly." God knows that the ones who see how far they fell will love Him the greatest when He restores their souls. They will feel forever indebted to the One who brought salvation to them. Those who think they've figured it all out will miss what they could have with Jesus because they aren't even aware of their separation from Him. We see this in Scripture. We see the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They've dedicated their lives to God. But Jesus points out over and over and over again how far from Him they truly are. There's actually places where He points out that they're walking with Him. They're walking with their Messiah. They're walking with God. And they're so far from God that they don't even recognize Him. Then He turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. Earlier, I pointed out that we needed to stop, and we needed to recognize words as we're going through these verses, because they have certain points to make. And if we just look at the story, we miss the points of why Jesus is telling them and having them etched in history. Have you noticed that Scripture points out that you will love if you have Jesus in your heart? But if you have hate or hold unforgiveness, you are not in the Lord and He is not in you. Here Jesus points out that the love pouring out of this woman is the result of her sins being forgiven. It happened, and now she can't help but love. It says, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love shows. The way that she's responding, the love that's pouring out of her, it's happening because she recognizes the salvation that she has. She recognizes where she was and the mercy that's been poured out on her. The verse continues, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Do you see yourself as a good person? Is there only a little that you've needed forgiveness for? What might this thought of yourself do to affect the way you treat others? Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Her faith in who he was brought forgiveness and salvation upon her. The way she responded showed that love had entered her heart. Scripture tells us that Jesus is love. Jesus had entered her heart. And because this was visible in her, Jesus said, go in peace. You have been saved. Romans 12, 18 through 21 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This means in everything that you have control over, what do we have control over? Sometimes when things go wrong in our lives and people are talking to me about whatever they're going through, the thing that comes to my heart to point out is that we only have control over ourselves. We can't control other people. We can't make them do what we want. We can try, but it usually doesn't work out. We don't have control over other people. We have control over ourselves. I've pointed out in times where I've been in relationships with people and we didn't see eye to eye. Like arguments with Lisa or arguments with other people in my life. We didn't see eye to eye, and so my human instinct was to make them see it my way. But if I only have control over myself, and God's word says, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So if I'm going to live peaceably with someone I'm not seeing eye to eye with, and the only person I have the ability to influence is myself, then I have to look inside. Is this something that needs to be fought to the end? Is this something that needs to be said and done right now? Is the outcome going to be worth these words? Many times the answer is no. Many times it's, if I say this, there's going to be hurt feelings. There's going to be apologies needed. There's going to be mending needed in this relationship. Is there another way to go about this? Is it really that big of a deal? Can I let it go and the world still turn? Most chances, yes. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Your enemy. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. My wife says, when people are giving her a hard time, that her whole focus becomes to kill them with kindness. To be so kind to them in their anger and their harsh words that they begin to feel guilty about the way they're treating her. She kills them with kindness. But isn't it interesting that we see this very act listed out in God's Word? If someone who's hurt you or is hurting you is hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they have a need and you have the means, give it to them. And in doing so, they will see what their actions are doing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's Christmas, and we're celebrating the love of God, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. That's what we're celebrating. We talk about the baby Jesus. And what we're celebrating in the baby Jesus is that God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son to die for our sins, to pay our debt, so that we could forever be with Him in eternity. And we are reminding each other that because of this great love, we can hold on to hope in what the future holds, no matter what the present looks like. We can let our joy shine through our days because we know that we have been redeemed and a new future is awaiting us. We are not getting what we deserve. Grace has been poured out on us and we're being blessed. Good fortune awaits. We're not going where we deserve. We now have the opportunity to enter heaven and be with God in paradise forever and ever and ever. Good fortune has been set in the doorway of eternity. When you enter that doorway, you will not see what you deserve, but what Jesus has purchased for you. What Jesus has promised that He's going to prepare for you. What does your gift from God look like? Mine is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That everything that I've done in my life that should have separated me from God has been forgiven. And now I have the opportunity to be with Him forever in eternity. And all of this brings peace into my heart because my confidence is in my faithful and trustworthy God. It's not based on my merits. It's based on His word, on His promises. Receive your gift this Christmas and let the world see it in all you do. Let's pray. And then I have a closing song. Lord God, you know the details of our lives today. You know what's going on. You know what's weighing on hearts in this place today. You know the joys. You know the happiness. You know the pains. And you know the sorrow. And Lord God, I ask you today to open eyes, open hearts, open minds to receive you in everything we say and do. Lord God, you said the Holy Spirit will speak what he hears from you. And so, Lord God, with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, speaking to us, prompting us, guiding us, Lord God, we look to you. Lead us in all we say and do. Help us and guide us, Lord God. Protect us. And shine your glory through us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and thank you.